All right, folks, welcome back to this Mountain West Wire podcast. I'm Jeremy Moss, MWCWire.com. Catch us over at collegefootballnews.com. We're all just hanging out in that little hub with a few other sites joining us as well. This show today, it's a season's here for college football, but we're looking way ahead to April or whenever the 2018 NFL draft is. We're going to bring on Justin Mello. Follow him on Twitter. There's a lot of places. He does great work at JustinM_NFL. He does stuff for Draft Breakdown. We use that. Definitely check out their video breakdowns or articles. He does stuff for the Draft Wire. It's part of USA Today, kind of where we're tangentially located at as well with USA Today. He also does some other work for the Titans Wire, so Tennessee Titans stuff. But I've already chatted with Justin. Great interview, great insight. We go over about half a dozen plus prospects from the Mountain West. Includes going over the receivers, Michael Gallup, Devontae Boyd. We definitely talk Josh Allen. I got to wait for that sort of near the end, but we do chat with him about the quarterback situation in the NFL, what teams are looking for with Allen or any quarterback overall, as we discussed the big three, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen as well. But let's get to the interview right now. No more hearing about me chatting about, one couple note here. Twitter, of course, obligatory mention, MWC Wire. Follow us on Facebook, Mountain West Wire. We're going to start doing a few new things there shortly. Subscribe to this podcast. Leave us a review. Share it to friends. That definitely helps us out. And now let's get to the interview, and we'll be talking some NFL draft. All right, and now we're going to be talking, like I said before, some extremely early, probably sure to be wrong predictions on my end about the NFL draft. But we have an expert. Justin Mello is going to help us out doing some draft stuff. He does stuff at Draft Breakdown, so if you go to @DraftBreakdown Twitter. I've used those videos forever, which are always pretty good breakdowns. And then also the Draft Wire, the USA Today site, and then also Titans stuff, too, at Titans Wire. So thanks for hopping on in August, because the draft's like still 8 months away, but there's always something to talk about, it seems like.
It's a year-round thing. It's a year-round thing for me. I'm glad to be here.
So what do you do? Because your draft's over, clearly. College football season started. What do you kind of do? Let's kind of chat about kind of what you do at this point of the year. Are you just looking at, or you see a handful once a month, 2018 mock drafts, guys transfer schools, or new guys coming in for college? What's your process now for the draft? Just looking at who could be the top 100 guys, or you organizing your board, or what are you kind of looking at as summer ends and the season to beginning for college?
I just kind of look everywhere, you know, talent, you find talent where you can. A lot of guys I'm intrigued about. I haven't really got into board organizing yet. It's a little early for that, but right now, you know, I'm spending my time interviewing a lot of upcoming prospects. Recently published stuff with Courtland Sutton, wide receiver at SMU. I did something with Richie James, wide receiver at Middle Tennessee State. So I'm just kind of all over the place, just mainly interviewing the prospects.
Let me ask about this really quick. It's kind of draft stuff, but not really. You probably don't – the player doesn't matter. This is a guy who was a three-star quarterback, going to go to UNLV, ends up going to Yale for whatever reason, to Ivy League. Like, if they're in the Ivy, if they're at Columbia, if they're at FCS, do you guys – how do you find them? Just because you'll see them because some coach sends you tape or sends you a message or something? Is that kind of how it works for these non-bigger programs? Or even, like, what we're going to talk about in the West stuff, like Boise State, Colorado State. But if a guy goes to Ivy League, he's still found because if you're good, they're going to find you some way or another.
Well, the Draft Breakdown is a phenomenal, phenomenal tool. You know, it's really utilized throughout the entire world of football. I can't take credit for none of that stuff. They've got a Brian Perez who heads the Draft Breakdown. They've got a phenomenal group of video editors who just, they dig up tape on everybody. It's really incredible. And last year, you know, the 2016 NFL draft, they had the largest video library in their history. So it seems like every year they get bigger and better.
Yeah, we use their videos a lot. It's like, oh, they have a little blurb. They have, like, they cut together tape. I'm like, heck, that takes time. Why not use their resources and spread the word of their stuff? I've been using Draft Breakdown, 3 years at least, a couple years? They've been around for a while, but I've used it, like, the past three seasons just to watch myself and to let people know if we're doing, like, a draft profile on this player. Here's what you need to know, guys.
And I can't tell you how many people in the industry use it. And I don't say that out of any bias. I really mean it. I have conversations almost every single day with NFL agents, guys who represent, you know, 10, 15 NFL players who have told me, hey, you know, I don't have time to watch, you know, 60 hours of college football on the weekend. I'll hop on the draft breakdown and I'll get my opinion on a guy right on there. So really, I mean, it's not just for fans. Everyone uses it.
All right, so let's get to what we're talking about. Because, yeah, I've seen in the rounds. So it's like, I find it, it's like, you're right. You cut down 10 minutes of tape, six yeah. minutes of tape, you have 50 plays or something.
Yeah.
So it's, oh, yeah. it's if you don't use it, recommend. I'd recommend go finding it for whatever. Search a player. Odds are it's there or it's going to be there soon once the season gets going if a player has some good stuff. But our topic, we're going to focus on the Mountain West, clearly, because that's what we do at the MWC Wire. Absolutely. And we know we're going to get to Josh Allen, but we're going to wait for him to make you guys listen to the other talk because, heck, we want people to listen longer than 4 minutes or something.
No doubt.
But we'll get to him momentarily. You had something up, looks like, recently on him. But there's typically – Mountain West gets, what, maybe 10 players drafted every year, 8 to 10. So it's almost one per team, it seems like, close to there.
Yeah.
Who's a player – like, let's start with you. Let me start with you. You're the expert here. I know a few players as well. I gave you a couple. Like, oh, let me look into them. Like, who's – some of the seniors – like, let's start defense, I guess. There's a couple of guys who could be pretty good. Let's start with, I guess, defensive back. You have Andrew Chachere at San Jose State, who their program is usually not very good. Since they had David Fales a couple years ago, they've been pretty garbage. But their secondary, for some reason, has always been good. Like, they've been Wickery with the Panthers for a while. They've always had a good pass defense. Does he fit any sort of chance of being – like, what would you describe him a bit? Maybe just kind of give me a quick evaluation of what you've seen or whatever.
He's a good player. He's a ball hawk. You know, last year 14 pass breakups. How's that for a statistic? 14 pass breakups. Made some plays on the ball as well. You know, besides that, 4 interceptions, 2 fumbles forced. He's a guy who I find around the ball a lot, and I agree. I think he's got a future. He's got a future in the NFL. He's a versatile guy. He hasn't just played corner. He's played a little safety in his career as well, a little bit of linebacker. He's got a nose for the ball, and he's dangerous when the ball's in his hands as well. You know, I think he had something like 115 odd yards off interceptions last year off his 4 picks. So when he picks it off, he's a threat to score.
So with players like that in the NFL, like guys who have a ton of PBUs, a lot of yards, a lot of interceptions, touchdowns or not off of those, what do they look for like the NFL? If he's going to be, let's just say safety, whatever he's going to be, because you said he played multiple spots, that gives him a better chance to make a roster. So when you're talking to scouts or when you're evaluating players, what's more important for a defensive back? If he makes pass breakups, if he gets interceptions, a lot of tackles, like what's one? Is there like a key stat that people look for? Like he's going to be drafted here because he has, say, 20 pass breakups or 6 interceptions.
Well, they're always looking for guys with ball skills. I mean, that's no secret. And the key for him and for this coming season is just going to be consistency. You know, it was great that he did the things that he did last year. They were fantastic. But he's got to go out there now and do it again. He's got to be consistent. And he does have some areas of his game that he can improve. You know, one thing that I look for out of him this year is he's got to be more aggressive versus the run. Specifically, when I watched, him against Air Force last year, he just seems too easily taken out of the run game. You know, he doesn't come aggressively downhill. He's not attacking the run. He's just a little too passive when it comes to that area of his game. So I'd like to see him develop that a little this year.
Yeah, San Jose State could use that. Their rush defense the past couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, part of it has been just awful. Part of the reason they're, if you look at the raw numbers, like the yards per game, San Jose State's pass defense looks better than what it is, even though it's still pretty good, because teams are just run. But if you look dig deeper, like you have with Chachere and then, like I said, Ben Wickery, there's talent back to the past couple of years. The yards per game is misleading, but they get pass breakups, they get picks. But that's an area, like, San Jose State needs that help. If he could do that, if the new coaching staff say, hey, come move up on certain situations, that'll not only help the team, but that could help him maybe, NFL, if you're versatile, if you could take 3 spots for 1 roster spot, you're going to be on the team.
The more you can do, the better. And just like you said, they've struggled defending the run the last couple of years. And part of that has to do with exactly what you said. They've had some talent back there. The secondary does have some talent, and teams are aware of that. So you're gonna end up facing some challenges in the run game, and that's where they've got to get better, and that's where he has to get better.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. They got that early game playing Quinton Flowers in Week 1, so or whatever you want to call it this weekend.
Yeah,
the upcoming game.
Right.
That'll be interesting. That's a pretty good opponent, even though he runs a lot, but he can chuck it too. So let's move to the other one other senior defensive player. New Mexico's defense. Oh man. They got to get better for the season. But they have Garrett Hughes, who's back there. Defensive lineman. And he's, well, I believe he's like an all-conference player. He's one of our top, I think we did our top 50 countdown. I think we put him in the top 20, I want to say. Does he have any chance of maybe making some noise, even though because he plays in a bad defense? What do you have to do to, like, let me kind of broaden that up again, sorry. But if he plays for a bad defense, how can he shine to say, I'm a good player at the next level? What can he do if his numbers may not be there or his team gives up 50 points a game or whatever?
Where there's talent, the NFL will find it. And Garrett Hughes is a talented player. You know, he broke out last year in a major way. 6.5 sacks, and, you know, you mentioned all-conference. He's fast. He's explosive. You know, 7.5 tackles for loss. What he has to do this year, and actually it's funny, I read something recently. You know, head coach over there, Bob Davey, he's called him out this year in terms of he wants to see him staying in his gap a little bit more this year. He's got to remain consistent. He's a little too quick to abandon his gap. You know, he thinks the play's going one way, he gets excited, he abandons, and then it comes right back at him and he's no longer in position. So he had a good year last year. Again, he's going to have to remain consistent. He's going to have to repeat those numbers that he put together last year. But he's another guy that's got to get better against the run.
We'll see, because you'd think when they play Air Force every year that you'd want to play your position football when you're going to get those option teams. And,
right.
And all the good running backs, too. Like last year in that division, they played against Jeremy McNichols, Brian Hill. They played a lot of good teams. You'd think you'd want to stay where the running game is going to be. But we'll see, because I think he does have talent. Again, it's just kind of interesting when you see, like, for people who don't follow the draft as closely as you do, or even less than me or more than me, whatever, I followed enough, but it's like, how did this guy who played on a 2-10 team get a second-round pick? Well, like you said, if they're good, and not that New Mexico's that bad, but their defense has been pretty bad. But Hughes, New Mexico's to do anything good this year, they need him to, like, stay in his lane and stop what's going to happen, because they're the unit that needs any player that's good to probably play three times better to offset what their offense could do, because their offense, I think, is probably one of the best with whatever offense he runs in that offense. Let me ask you about that. Let me kind of throw one on you. Hopefully it's not too out there for you, but New Mexico's offense, you've probably seen a little bit maybe. They run a unique pistol, triple option, veer option offense. For those running backs, like last year, Taron Gibson didn't get drafted, but he had, I think, 1,200-plus yards. They have Tyron Owens this year. If you're in an offense like that, whether it's Navy and Air Force, but he's put up a ton of yards, how come some of these guys may get picked or may not get picked? Is it because they're in a scheme? They think that's why they're playing so well? That overrides maybe what their talent really is?
Yeah, I think it mainly has to do with scheme. I think the most important thing is how does it translate? And that's, you know, that's something that NFL teams are always adapting to. Regarding what numbers he put up, how does he translate? How does he translate to our offense? Does he fit our scheme? And a lot of times these schemes, they're just not viable for guys to make that transition to the next level. That's what I think it really comes down to.
Okay, that makes sense. I just know they've always had, like, especially last year, Owens had seemingly he had 20-plus yard runs every other play, it seemed like, going for, always had a big play. But it makes sense. Like, that's why you don't see a lot of, outside of the restrictions for their commitment, Air Force, Navy, those type of guys get the shot, but you don't see Georgia Tech running backs going into the NFL either with Paul Johnson out there.
Before a different conference, I understand, but hey, before Marcus Mariota, how many quarterbacks came out of Oregon that flopped?
Yeah, there's that too, yeah.
How many people thought Mariota was going to flop because the previous ones did?
And even with Joey Harrington, he was a different QB, didn't play that well, because Mariota has the footwork to move around.
Exactly. So it all comes down to, you know, how does it translate?
It's also like going back to like Timmy Chang in Hawaii, or when they go Texas Tech quarterback, who's really been good running those type of systems. And will Luke Falk, will he get a shot because he plays in that same Mike Leach offense?
Right.
It's all fun. It's such a different game, but it's the same game, but it's like not even the same game for all these schools, what they run or what they do.
It's very different, right? I mean, I've spoken to a lot of guys who were just drafted recently. You know, I try to catch up with some of the guys that I interviewed and followed throughout the process, certain guys that I've had access to have communication with, and they're all telling me the same thing. Like, it's a different beast out here. And the first thing they always tell me, it's the same. I always hear it's so much faster. That's the first thing every guy says to me. It's so much faster.
So what do you think about Leonard Fournette saying it's not faster?
I think he's in for a rude awakening, to be honest with you. I mean, we'll see. Yep. That shocked me a little, I'll be honest. That surprised me a little.
He's played against the Jaguars, so maybe that's
maybe that's why it's not faster. Yeah, maybe.
When I saw that, I'm like, really, buddy? Come on, let's wait until you play meet up against J.J. Watt. You play the Texans. Come on,
that was shocking. And that O-line, I don't have a lot of confidence in that O-line that he's going in, or that offense, period, to be honest with you. So,
I got a buddy who likes him. He's like, Blake Bortles, Chad Henne, give me Lamar Jackson. Let's wait till next
year. Yeah. I mean, ideally, they want to be a team this year that runs the ball a lot. But in order to do that, you got to run it well. And you can't fall behind early. And those are two things I'm not confident they'll be able to do this year.
Yeah, that'll be tough for them. But let's kind of swing back here. Let's go to the offense really quick. There's one guy, like, offensive linemen, it's critique it however you want, but there's one that I think is pretty good. There's other guys that might have a shot, but I think Jake Bennett, CSU.
Oh, yeah.
The center there. That's a pretty big position anywhere in the NFL, like center. Like, if you look at Chase Roullier from Wyoming, he's getting at least a little bit, last time I checked, first team reps a little bit with Washington. Even if you're backup out there in center, that's a key. That's probably, the second or third most important position on offense. What does he bring for this team? Because the Rams' running game with Dalen Dawkins, Izzy Matthews, even Marvin Kinsey last year when he's healthy, was really good. So what is his future, do you think, Pertel, going forward?
I really like him. A couple things that I like about him. First of all, you know, one thing NFL teams are always going to look for on the offensive line is ability to be healthy, their ability to stay healthy, and versatility. So he started all 13 games last year at center. You know, if you want to look to the year before, 2015, he started 13 games at center and left guard. So there you go. Right there, you're seeing the versatility that he brings to the table. He can play multiple positions, and he's a tough kid. One thing I noticed about him when I put on the tape is he plays through the whistle, man. He is tough as nails, and he likes to get to the second level. He will get up there, and he wants to hand out punishment. He's a good player. I like him a lot.
Is there any benefit to, like, past success for the Rams program, despite they have a new coach, Mike Bobo, sort of new, I guess, compared to Jim McElwain? They had guys like with the Broncos. Who is it? Ty Samborillo is with the Broncos, left tackle, I want to say.
Right.
And they had a guy didn't they have a guy last year drafted from the Rams, I believe, that went somewhere? Giants, I want to say?
Colorado State. I don't recall I don't recall.
Trying to throw it at you, but I know Ty Samborillo is with the Broncos.
Correct.
But how does that help? Like, if even a new coaching staff, like two side questions here. He was at Georgia before. They run the ball a lot. You know that little thing people say about Bobo. And then with past success for the program, does that play any impact about maybe program success? Like, they always turn out, like, you always see, like, linebacker you or quarterback you, whatever. They have a couple offensive linemen, Rams doing well. Does that make a difference? Like, they may prop them up a tiny bit or maybe give them benefit of the doubt at all just because this program's had, say, three guys drafted the past 5 years at that position or on the line. Does that make any difference at all?
I think it makes a little bit of a difference. I think what's going to make the biggest difference for a guy like him this year, to be totally honest with you, is that he's got Michael Gallup on his team. And I think teams are going to be traveling down there in bunches to see him. So, you know, just by default, they're going to see Bennett as well. I think that's going to help him a lot. And you talk about Coach Bobo coming in. They didn't run the ball well last year. And that's an area that they have to improve in this year. But one thing that Bennett was a huge contributor to was they were very good in pass pro last year. You know, and that starts with him. They were very good in pass protection last year. They gave up one sack per game on average. You know, 13 sacks last year, the whole year. So, I mean, teams are going to be privy to his talent.
So, speaking of that, because they go out and play a decent schedule. I know Oregon State's not very good week one. They always play Colorado. They go to Alabama. Like, that's a game where if you perform well against a really good program, especially that defense, how would that maybe boost his stock up? Let's just say, because Rams aren't going to beat Alabama. It'll take a major miracle to beat them out in Tuscaloosa. But if he performs well and doesn't give up any sacks in his position, shows he's driving back whoever he's going up against on the defensive line, how much extra would that give his boost for coming in next April?
It's a huge help. One thing that evaluators always look for with some of these guys, you know, who come from the small school, is how did he do when he was faced with a team like Alabama? How did he play against Alabama? And that's huge. And I've seen it in the past. I mean, look at, again, switching conferences here quickly, but look at MTSU safety Kevin Byard. You know, there were the small school concerns with him. He didn't get invited to the combine. Tennessee Titans still took him at the top of the third round, and he was phenomenal in his draft year against Alabama. I believe he had two interceptions in that game, and that was referenced constantly when his name got brought up throughout the process. How they played Alabama, he had two picks. He can hang. He showed he can hang against a bigger program. So that'll be huge for him. If he can have a good showing there, there's no value to that. It's invaluable.
So I kind of figured. So let's move on to another point off its actual skill position. We should go reverse order that list I have for you. So Rashard Petty, he is kick return specialist, back-to-back conference player of the year at that position, returning, I think, 5 or 6 career touchdowns, 1,000 yards rushing last year, going to focus more on running this year. Where do you see him? Because you had Donald Pumphrey, who's now with,
the Eagles.
Yeah, that's right, Eagles. He got picked up. Penny was his backup, had over 1,000 yards. He comes in. Penny has the worst offensive line because 4 of the 5 guys are out, including Nico Siragusa, who's unfortunately hurt with the Ravens now. Where do you see him? Because size is still an issue because he's a smaller guy, plays in the terrible West Division, which may have inflated Pumphrey and his numbers a little bit because playing UNLV or Hawaii's defense or that Spartan rush defense, who knows, not very good. How does he project, maybe even, it's not fair to say towards Pumphrey, but similar size, similar skill set, in my opinion, a little bit. How would he go because he's a smaller back and plays in a, like I said, division that's not great?
I'm really excited to see him in the feature back role this year. I'll say that much. I'm really excited to see him in that role because, you know, last year, you know, don't get me wrong, defenses, they knew about him. But when they're scheming, you know, they're looking at Pumphrey last year, right? That's the first guy coach is putting up on the board. You're a defensive coordinator. You're going against San Diego State University. You're putting Pumphrey's picture on the board first. And that's what the notion to stop him comes first. So Penny this year, the feature guy, it's going to be his picture on the board this year. So how does he handle that pressure? How does he handle defenses keying in on him? So performance-wise for him, this year, it's huge for him. But he's a good player. I really like him.
And it also helps because they have a third guy, like Juwan Washington. He only had 55 touches last year and 6 touchdowns and 8 yards per carry. So it's not like it's going to be all on Penny there, because if he needs a breather, be like last year, Pumphrey, then Penny, this will be Penny, then Washington. And if he's not doing, how much do you think it could help his stock? Because if he's not, he already said he's going to reduce his kicking ability or kick return numbers. He said maybe Stanford, maybe Boise State. I know the versatility is important, but would it give him more of a, it's like a draft, same thing, but draft boost, or make him be more of a, oh, he's a feature back? Because A, he's getting a ton of carries, because Pumphrey had 349 carries last year, which is absurd. Penny had 135. So if he gets to 300 carries or whatever, not returning kicks, are they looking maybe for more durability, see if he can do it, despite him being a major backup for 2+ seasons?
Well, absolutely. They definitely want to see, can he handle the workload? Like you said, you know, 300+ carries could very well be coming his way this year. Can he stay healthy through that? Can he remain consistent through that? In terms of the special teams, I mean, I get that. If he's going to be handling 300+ carries, I get why you may want to reduce the workload on special teams, but he's going to be a guy, as you mentioned, he's undersized. You know, there's going to be some knocks on him coming out. So he's going to have to do a lot. And teams are going to want to see special team ability out of him. And that's going to help him get drafted. And that's going to help him make a roster. But I totally get why they might scale back that workload.
Who would you say is a better running back, Penny or Pumphrey?
I think Penny fits better to the next level, if that makes any sense. I think he's got a better chance translating. I think Pumphrey was the better collegiate player, but I think Penny's got a better chance to make a roster at the next level and really make an impact.
Okay. I want to see what he can do as well, because he's done well the past couple years. And so for them, my only concern, because I know numbers are everything, but with that offensive line being decimated from starting experience, that could be an area where, hey, you only put up like only 1,000 yards or something, or only 1,100 yards, but... Hopefully people aren't looking at like, why don't you have 2,000 yards like Pumphrey? It's like, well, I'm a different player.
He's got an intriguing skill set. You know, you put on the tape last year, they motioned him out to receiver quite a bit, and he showed good hands when he was put in that position. So he's a versatile guy. As a runner, I find he's real light on his feet. He's got quick feet, but he's patient as well. He waits for his blocks to develop, and he can navigate through the clutter. So he's got an intriguing, versatile skill set.
Yeah, I think that would help too, because if you're a kick returner, you have to wait to make your move, to make whatever you're going to juke left or right or whatever you're going to do. You have enough good field vision to see, okay, I can wait a second here and see where oh, my blocker's coming here, there's where a defender's going, I can wait half a second and make the right move. And that is a pretty big deal. And he had a couple of touchdowns receiving as well. And so it's, I think with San Diego State, if they get a decent passing game with Christian Chapman, that could open a ton up for everybody, him, the team, and everything. But it's, he's a good back. I'm waiting to see what he could do. Like when he plays Stanford, and even though Arizona State's whatever, they're not going to be that great. But when he plays Stanford, that'll be an interesting game to see what they could do. Because last year, if I recall, Pumphrey, when he get 95 yards, not even 100 yards for Stanford.
Right, right. Yeah, he might have had one of his worst games last year.
Which makes sense. Stanford's really good, so. All right, let's get to the receiving core. But we promise we'll get to Josh Allen shortly, folks, just because everybody's waiting to hear. Whatever. But receiving group, like last year was the running back year for the conference with, like I mentioned, McNichols, Brian Hill, Pumphrey, Jacoby Owens, Air Force, a lot of guys out there running the ball pretty well. Now they got running back. I think they're finally back to the quarterback. Ever since Derek Carr has been gone and David Fells, they finally have recovered and have great quarterbacks. They also have great receivers. You have Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, Devontae Boyd. Well, let's start with Devontae Boyd really quick. He missed most of last year with it was a broken arm, I want to say. No. They had so many injuries at receiver. Knee injury, that's what it was, I believe.
I think it was a knee. It was an arm. He broke his arm against Wyoming.
There are so many injuries. They had to put quarterbacks. Dalton Sneed played wide receiver last year for him.
He broke his arm against Wyoming, yeah.
Okay. I knew there was a broken arm and there's a knee. I think he had a knee tweak during spring or something, or last week in fall or spring. So what do you say about Devontae Boyd? Like, what could he do? Because he doesn't have enough film. He has enough film because the sophomore year he played a lot. Last year, not a ton. He has a new quarterback in Armani Rogers, who people are extremely high on, who has yet to throw a pass yet. And I make fun of that every day because let's wait to see if he can make a throw.
Yeah, they're really
I fun. Like to rub well, yeah, so sorry. But what do you see about Boyd? Like, how can he be helped with Rogers, who's new quarterback? They have a good running game back. Most of their line is back. What's your overall assessment like on Boyd, what he can do for this Rebel offense, which I think potentially could be pretty good?
I mean, for me, what the big thing with him is he's a yards after catch demon. He's so special once he gets the ball in his hands. He's got a real quick feet at the top of his route. I think he does a real good job separating right, you know, in and out of his breaks. And, you know, he's a smaller guy, you know, 6'1", 175. It's the weight that I'm concerned with. But he still wins those contested balls. He does not get out-muscled often there. He's a contested catch winner. The thing for him this year is, you know, a couple things is the health, obviously. He played 9 games last year. That broken arm limited him to 9. You want to see him play the full year this year. That's going to be the major concern with him. I can already tell NFL evaluators are going to look at him and they're going to say, well, he's thin-limbed. You know, he's got thin limbs. Can he handle a 16-game regular season schedule at the NFL?
Is that a thing? Thin limbs?
That's a thing, my friend. I promise you that's a thing. That's a thing. They worry about, can he take NFL hits? Can he take NFL hits? Even if you're a guy who hasn't been hurt that often, they will be concerned whether or not you can take NFL hits. I'm telling you, thin-limbed is words that I've learned. Yeah.
I've heard, like, I know it's an issue if you've broken collarbone. That can happen a lot. But you usually hear the soft tissue always a hamstring every time or a quad. That could come back at any moment. But, all right, man, that's a new one for me. Thin-limbed. But I guess I hear the collarbone because that's how it is. But, okay,
well, you know,
sure, you're the expert. I'll trust you.
You know what, though? You know, one thing I do want to say about him is, you know, people are concerned about the injury. So he broke his arm in that game against Wyoming. That game went to 3 overtimes, and he finished that game. He played through that game with a broken arm. So no one's going to question the kid's toughness. That's for sure.
Yep, I do remember now that triple overtime returning to the game. So Den Limbs, who cares? Come on, he finished the game with a broken arm. Give it to him.
He's a tough guy, you know. And last year, you know, that must have been tough for him going through that injury because that was, you know, it was his lowest yard total so far in his career, 746 yards last year, limited to 9 games. So he's got to come back this year. He's got to show the ability that he can stay healthy. He's got to remain consistent. And I'd like to see him put on a little bit of weight, but without losing his speed. That's another thing that'll be big for him.
All right, we've got 2 more receivers here we'll talk about really quick. Cedric Wilson of Boise State. He's a JUCO guy. Came in last year, did pretty good. Thomas Spurbeck is gone. They lose a lot of production, especially McNichols, even him in the passing game. What do you see from Wilson in his second year at the FBS program? Boise keeps the same OC finally, which will help him and even Brett Rypien as well. What do you see from Wilson maybe as he's now going to take over that number one position?
I don't know how much time you got because you said only a little bit, but I really love this kid. I love Cedric Wilson, so it's going to be hard for me to just talk a little about him. He was great last year, and I really think he's potentially the most underrated receiver in college ball right now. I mean, you look at the numbers last year, over 1,100 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns, and as you said, that was as the number two to Spurbeck. Yeah. So Spurbeck's gone. He's the guy now, and I expect him to have another massive year. He plays real big. I really love the way he attacks the ball in the air. That's the first thing that jumps out at me about him. But and he's a good route runner. He gets open. He's got moves after the catch, too. He's tough to bring down. He's a contested catch winner. He's got a special, special skill set, and it's a versatile skill set. You have to look no further than his game against New Mexico last year where he put up 3 touchdowns. Okay, first, you know, 2 of them, I think it was his first and third touchdown, were end zone fades. One-on-one down there in the red zone. He's tough to cover. You can't cover him with one guy. He's going to win that contested ball in the air. His second touchdown, you know, he was killing them all game underneath, right? They're giving him space. They're afraid of him. You know, they back up off him, and he's tearing them apart underneath. Okay, you know, what does that do to a defensive back? Okay, I'm tired of letting this guy catch the ball. Defensive back comes up, wants to play him closer, wants to play press. He fights right through it. He gets a, what was that? I think it was a 60-something yard touchdown, the second one of the game. Just on a simple go route. How do you defend the kid? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, look at Air Force, 4 for 193. Jeez.
He's special, man. He's quick off the snap, too. Quick off the snap.
So where would you put him between? Because our last guy, we were talking about Michael Gallup at CSU. Where would you, how would you compare those two guys?
Gallup's another guy I like a lot. It's tough to compare the two right now. In terms of Gallup, I want to see him. I want to see him be consistent this year. You know, he had a huge year last year as well. Something like 70, I think he caught 76 cat balls, over 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns. Guy transfers over from Butler Community College in Kansas. He's a big-time player. He's another one just like Wilson, and he's special with the ball in his hands. He's a big yard after catch guy. And Coach Bobo, they use him a lot in the screen game. I actually read a statistic on him. He gained 225 yards alone off the screen last year. 225 yards on the screen game last year. So he's a really, really good player. He's a good route runner. He runs the full route tree. And he's another guy just like Wilson who's really good at the top of his routes. You think you've got him covered. You think you've got him blanketed. And then he just creates a sliver of space. It's all he needs to get open.
Do you think with Gallup, like he's had some like third or fourth team All-American consideration, do you think that's warranted for his abilities?
I think he's great. I think he's better than that. And for him this year, again, I want to see him remain consistent. Another thing I didn't mention that I want to see out of him, you know, how receivers get with run blocking, but he's got to get better in that area. He's way too passive when it comes to blocking. So I'd like to see him improve that there. He's going to have to do it. He's got to do it to play at the next level.
Yeah, you got to do it all. You can't just be one item, one trick pony guy to go deep. Or he's already versatile, but look at like. I think the Patriots do a pretty good job. They receivers block well, and they do the running game. Other teams do, so you got to do it all. All right, you ready to get to the main event, I guess it is?
I'm ready.
People love them some Josh Allen.
With reason.
Let me ask. Let me just go back to last year. Were you – you know Matt Miller was a guy who kind of, oh, he's going to be a number one pick. Did you buy that at all last year? Had he come out, he would have been that highly picked?
Oh, boy. Last year, I don't know about that. I don't know if he would have been number one last year, but I'll tell you what. I think if he plays this year like he played last year, I think he can be number one. I do. I really do.
So you wrote something, a good breakdown over at draftbreakdown.com recently, like just the other day, or the 21st. What is that, yesterday?
Today, yeah. I published that earlier this morning. I wrote it about I've been, you know, fine-tuning it over the last month, but yeah, I published that this morning.
So what's your impression going into this year? Because for me here, I guess I'll give my impression of what I saw from him compared to maybe what others, because I hear that I'm like, okay, he has a size, check, a really good arm. But when I go back and look at, maybe I'm looking too closely to negative stuff at him. He only completed 55% of his passes, which is not very good. Really, it's not good if you're going to be a top quarterback, in my opinion. And I go back to, he does too much. Like Craig Bull mentioned, I think with CBS sport. I forget who it was, Dennis Dodd or whomever, saying he's like Brett Favre. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense to me, because if you go back and watch the Nebraska game last year, they were within that game. I think it was a 10-14 point game going into fourth quarter. He collapsed. Not everything was his issue, but there's like a pick six. He had four turnovers, fumbled himself. He tried to be the hero in Eastern Michigan, doing a flip at the goal line, can't get in. When you look at the bowl game versus BYU, that final drive, he tries to thread the needle despite having a tight end wide open down the sideline to continue the drive. Mountain West title game, he tries to run on third and long, fumbles the ball right at the 1 yard line short of getting the first down. To me, he takes too many risks, and they haven't been paying off for the most part. Like, he has great plays. He'll thread the needle. He got C.J. Johnson in that title game down the sideline to come back for San Diego State. But from what I see, maybe I am looking at the negatives. I think he tries to risk it too much, and they're not paying off more often than not.
And that's something that he has to learn this year, and that's why I'm glad he went back and he returned this year. He's got to make better decisions. Absolutely. You're right. I like him a lot. But the first, negative that I see in him is exactly what you said. 55% completion percentage, 56, whatever it was, but that's not ideal. Typically I want to see my college quarterbacks over 60%. I mean, when you look at guys who've been drafted in the first round who were under 60%, the list is pretty alarming. Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, three recent guys, all kinds of guys who struggled at the next level, and you can look to that completion percentage with all of them. Matt Ryan is a guy, I just want to say for the record, Matt Ryan's a guy who was under 60. So it's not impossible, obviously, but more often than not, under 60 is usually a big red flag for me.
And let me ask you this, because there'll be a million, I know when ESPN comes to town or CBS Sports, or Aaron Taylor, Todd McShay call on their games. What's the over-under from comparing him to Carson Wentz, just because they both were like 6 inches after high school, and they're both coached by Craig Bull, and they all played multiple sports in high school?
A lot. And it's funny, you can see the comparison there a little. Absolutely. They're both big guys, and the athletic ability, I think that's probably why a lot of people are comparing the two of them. They're big, strong guys, the size is there, arm strength, as you mentioned. But they can also both run as well, right? And both of them pick up chunks of yardage with their legs. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Craig Bull, he recruited Wentz at North Dakota State. So I see it. I can definitely see it.
So let me ask you this. Let's go back to, there's a couple, ESPN's been hanging out there. A lot of people have been Bleacher Report after the draft, just chatting with Josh Allen. So the story. Let's let people know who don't. He is from Fireball, California, which is near Fresno. He wanted to go to Fresno State out of high school. He's an undersized guy because he grew during JUCO. Got nothing. He's had pictures, if you see the ESPN piece, him and David Carr hanging out and stuff. It's like, he wants to go to, his town's a Fresno guy, Fresno town. He gets no offers, goes to JUCO, comes back. Hey, Fresno, do you want me again? No, he had two offers, Eastern Michigan and Wyoming. And I think then Eastern Michigan pulls offer when he went to Wyoming, I believe, for a visit, something like that. So basically one offer. And if you read that story, like, I think I have the tweet I sent you about it. Tim Drueter and Dave Schramm, like, oh, we got this guy chasing Virgil. I think he'll be a good fit for us. You mentioned people find talent. How do they not find him? I know he didn't do the quarterback circuit. He played baseball, played basketball. He's from a super small town. And in that piece, I think you read it as well, he emailed, every head coach, every offensive coordinator, and two called back after his JUCO year. How does 300 teams, 300 coaches, or however many coaches he emailed, miss on one guy? Like, not even give him a look.
Like you said,
You're telling me Utah State. You're telling me smaller teams, Tulsa, who likes to sling the ball, Phillip Montgomery, teams from the MAC, Sun Belt teams aren't like. Look at Brent Stockstill, Middle Tennessee State. They found some guy like that. Why can't they? Nobody returns his calls. That seems. I get his hustle. I get it, but to hear him say only two teams called back seems pretty. It blows my mind. Even before knowing he's a great quarterback, only two coaches have any interest.
Yeah, I mean, it's a head scratcher. Like you mentioned, he's a late bloomer, grew 6 inches. Don't underestimate what that did for him. Don't underestimate what everyone turning him down did for him. I bet it made him work harder. I bet it lit a fire under his ass like nothing else could have.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe he doesn't become the guy he's become without that. But you're right. They missed on him. Everyone missed on him. I mean, 28 touchdowns last year. add another seven on the ground, 527 rush yards. It's a head scratcher for sure. You're not wrong.
So where do you put him? Like, we hear the three quarterbacks, him, Allen, Sam, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. How would you put those guys before their season begins? What would you go? Who cares about team need, NFL or anything? Right now, where would you rank those three guys?
I've got Allen one, Darnold three, two, and Rosen three. I like Allen. He's my number one right now. I think if he puts up a year this year similar to last year, maybe hopefully limit the interceptions a little bit. He threw 15 last year. You know, let's get that down to 10. Let's get that completion percentage over 60%. If he can do those two things and he decides to declare, he's my number one guy.
Pretty high praise. So number one overall or just number one quarterback?
Number one overall. Number one overall.
Yeah, because I was looking through like a few rankings.
Sorry. Let me clarify. I think a QB needy team will take him number one. Do I think he's the best player in college football? No, definitely not. Yeah, I don't think he's the best player. But yeah, I do think he can go number one overall. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Yeah, because teams will trade up. Teams will trade for quarterback. It doesn't matter if you're the best player.
It doesn't matter.
Or whatever. QB is important. Look what the Mitch Trubisky thing, which is a head scratcher. They move up one spot to get a guy they could have got at three, but whatever.
The
Bears do their thing.
I like Mitch, though. I'll be honest. I like Mitch. So if we're going to get into that, you're going to get an argument out of me. I like Mitchell. He was my number one QB last year. I had him number one.
Okay. Well, that's good. I just had the trading up for one spot where I'm not a draft guy or no teams, but it seemed like he could have been there at three. That's awesome.
I think the fear there was that San Fran would have traded the pick to someone else. Someone else would have jumped in front of the Bears at two to take him. So, I mean, credit John Lynch. They leveraged the Bears into a hell of a deal.
Oh, yeah. They got a good deal. And then look at same thing with the Chiefs. They don't really need a quarterback. Alex Smith is okay, but they traded it for Mahomes. My Texans got Deshaun Watson. Even though if you look at the extreme deal they went to get him for first-round picks, paying Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Hoping he's the guy. But teams, that's a pretty – if you look at how deep that went, if you go back a couple years, pretty pricey to get Deshaun Watson for what they paid for him. But if teams need him, we'll see what happens.
Look what the Rams paid for Goff.
Yeah.
Six picks. They gave up six picks. Two firsts, two seconds, two thirds.
RG3, man. Was it three first-rounders or something?
And teams haven't learned their lesson yet. So, you pay the price to go up there and get your guy. And, you know, and that might not happen this year. If, you know, a lot of people think the Jets might be the worst team in the league this year. I agree with that. If they get number one, to me, it's a no-brainer. They got to go QB. And I think Josh Allen is a very good fit there.
So I was looking before we kind of switched off, not topic, but kind of changed up a bit. I've seen rankings like you say, I get your point where he'd be a number one pick. He's not the best player. I don't think anybody's saying he's the best player. But I saw somewhere like Josh Allen, 42nd rated player overall. That seems like the worst I've seen on him being like mock drafts is like maybe it's a Pro Football Focus one, like maybe 12 or 13. But I've never seen him being, like, below a top 25 player overall. Like, I saw him at CBS, like, 44, 42. I'm like, that just – I don't get where that is because even if you don't like him at all, you would assume he'd still be a top 30 player.
Yeah, that's a little surprising to be honest with you. Even like you said, even if you don't like him, he's got to be top 30. I imagine he'll land in my – you know, it's obviously way too early, but I imagine he'll be somewhere in the 10 to 25 range for me, unless he totally unravels this year, obviously, but – he's probably going to land somewhere between 10 and 25.
All right, one last thing here before we wrap it up about sticking with quarterbacks. We'll have another time talk about juniors and stuff because we don't want this extremely long today. But so quarterbacks overall, like you'll see Lamar Jackson. I like Brent Stock still, Middle Tennessee State.
Me too.
Who are some other quarterbacks? Because last year, like really quick, like we had a super early top 25. I got jokes and laughed at for putting Middle Tennessee State 25. You see their wide receiver quarterback combo? It's pretty good, folks.
Phenomenal.
People should pay attention. I don't care if they're in Conference USA. But like, who are some other quarterbacks? Like, I'm pretty sure you saw the piece. Who was it at Yahoo now? Is it Pete Thamel at Yahoo? Is he over there now?
I believe so.
Who said this could be the greatest quarterback class ever? It's like, he's also the same guy. Didn't he say Lamar Jackson was a wide receiver as well?
Yeah, I mean, let's pump the brakes a little.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm pumping the brakes on that. I don't know about that. It's far too early for that. I'm not sold on any of them yet. You know, we got to see more out of all of them. Allen is my favorite. I like Darnold a lot as well. But after those two, I don't know. I like Lamar Jackson as well. I should put him in there. Lamar's fantastic. I think he's not getting a fair deal right now. I think he can absolutely play quarterback at the next level. So I like the three of them a lot. Rosen, I'm not sure on yet. I got to see more. Mayfield, Falk, I don't see it right now.
Yeah, because looking at, like, Darnold, like, my concern with him is that kind of Allen, my thing with Mitch Trubisky, where people said amount of starts is not a ton of starts, which matters a bit. And then Rosen, he had injuries last year. Team wasn't very good, but we'll see how it goes. It's super early, but quarterback, people trade up for anything. But the best class ever, I'm like, come on, 83 is pretty good.
Yeah, that's...
And, it's, yeah. And we already know it's like, there's not, like, people say, oh, there's going to be some guy coming out of nowhere. That's already there. Josh Allen's already out of nowhere last year and didn't declare.
Yeah, so exactly. It's like, it could be a good class. It could be a fairly decent class, but you can color me shocked if it ends up the best class of all time.
No kidding. It's like, come on. Whatever. You get clicks if you want to do that, and we talked about it. So
one thing I'll say, we got to wrap up here. One thing I'll say about Allen, I think is going to work wonders for him next year when everyone's evaluating him, is the pro-style offense. Don't underestimate the value that teams put on that in their pre-draft evaluation. I mean, look back to Winston, Mariota. The numbers weren't even – you couldn't even compare the numbers. Mariota blew him out of the water statistically, and he actually blew him in the water when they played against each other. And I liked Winston, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything negative about him. But what set them aside for evaluators? It was that Winston was coming out of that pro-style offense. They felt he was already leading an NFL offense. And it's very similar for Allen with what Coach Bull runs down there. So that's going to work wonders for him. And you can see it. He's expected to make all the throws. You know, he's expected to make reads. He scans the field. They ask him to do things that a pro quarterback does. So I think that's going to play huge into his favor next year. And that's a big part of the reason I have him number one right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I remember I used to work for a BYU show and we talked about Tanner Mangum. It's like, how will this new offense with Ty Detmer be going away from what Bronco Mendenhall and go fast, go hard garbage they ran there forever? But a pro style set, like, those guys will get to, maybe that's why Lamar Jackson a little bit lower for some people, or like there's questions with Marcus Mariota at Oregon, what he did. But if you're in that pro style set, like USC does it, UCLA mostly does it, Wyoming, teams like that, if you're already going 2-3 wide under center half the time, you're good to go. I think that gives you some sort of boost, but
it makes a huge difference to them. And don't underestimate the value of, you know, if I'm drafting a quarterback at the top, obviously, you know, we didn't have a good year last year. My job's probably already a little bit on the line, is it not? So if I'm bringing in a guy now who I think's going to take 3 or 4 years before he's ready to contribute, I'm not even going to be around anymore if it takes that long.
Exactly. You want, like, Jared Goff, man. I know you don't need to play all right away, but going to Cal, it's the Rams. I know Rams were good, but still, you gotta show him something. You don't want Achilles Smith back there again, right?
Look at that. I mean, Jeff Fisher plays a huge role in trading 6 picks to move up to get him. Coached him for how many games in the end? What was it? 6 games?
If that. He didn't even play till late in the year.
Yeah, if that, right? I don't remember what week it was now, but you're right. Four to six games he ends up starting. So Fisher's influential in making that decision to trade up for him. He's already out of the picture. Same thing happened in Tennessee, actually, right? Ken Wisenhunt, they didn't trade up for Mariota, but they draft Mariota. Ken Wisenhunt coached them, I think it was, for 6 or 7 games. He got the axe mid-season after a loss to the Texans. Same thing.
Do your homework, folks, right? That's the thing. Do your homework. If you want these quarterbacks, don't reach too much. All right, Justin, this is great stuff, man. Thank you for hopping on, chatting all these Mountain West players, going through quarterback stuff. Check his stuff out, Justin Mel, at JustinM_NFL. Let's see. Let me get this right. Draft Breakdown, the Draft Wire, USA Today, Titans Wire. Anything else I'm missing there? Is that good?
That's all for now. I'm keeping it to those three for now. Between those three, it's a full plate. But, you can catch me on all three.
Exactly. Thanks a ton, Justin. We'll chat with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
All right, let's think one more time. Justin Mel, check him out, Draft Breakdown. Check him out at the NFL Draft Wire. Titans Wire does a ton of stuff at JustinM_NFL Twitter. And he has Josh Allen, number one overall top pick. And again, he clarified, not the best player, which I understood, and hopefully most people do as well. But NFL is a quarterback in the needy league. Teams will trade up. They may reach for a quarterback, rightfully or so. But as for top quarterbacks, he has Allen number one, with his faults, of course. Better completion percentage. Don't force too much. He can make all the throws. So I hope everybody enjoyed that show, hearing about offensive linemen and defensive players. Heck, we had some New Mexico love in there too, talking Garrett Hughes and some other players, like also CSU offensive lineman Jake Bennett there. Great center, talking Rashard Penny, got through most of the teams that have a prospect. So I'm glad, thankful that Justin was able to come on. So definitely check out his stuff. He wrote a piece recently on Josh Allen, took him a while. We'll put it in our newsletter. So if you want to subscribe to that, check out that stuff. Probably Twitter, Facebook as well. You probably can find it. But just definitely search out that piece. Really good info, good clips, good breakdown of how good Josh Allen is and what to expect. But that is our show for today, talking NFL draft. We'll have Justin on again, probably not until draft season. So February, March, April, around those times, once he gets to get his eye on all these other prospects, and he interviews a lot of them as well. So we appreciate for Justin hopping on. And so definitely check out his stuff. Subscribe here to our feed here. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher, iTunes. Leave a review. I don't want to beg, but come on, leave a review. And yeah, have some fun. And one other note as well, the college football season is here. Opening weekend, we'll have our preview podcast. We've done podcasts just the other day, depending on what order you're listening to this, clearly. Me and Matt did our prediction show. We'll have our actual preview show Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So appreciate everyone listening, following us at our new home here at CFN. And as always, we end the same way. We're biased against your team.